me this morning to Isaiah chapter 61, the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah. Heavenly Father, add your blessing, Lord, to what I'm going to do now. The Spirit of God's in this house. You're here. Our Heavenly Father, I pray we have people that are hungry here. I believe we have. And Lord, do what you want to do now. The scripture says in Isaiah chapter number 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. In Luke chapter number 4, we read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You can be seated. Thus the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ officially begins. It begins when he's anointed there in the Jordan River by the Holy Ghost. He would not go out into the ministry without that, even though he's the second person of the Godhead and could have performed miracle after miracle after miracle on this earth. By his innate power, he never performed the first miracle by his innate power. Everything Christ did, he did by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Spirit is not a doctrine. The Holy Spirit is not for theology 101. The Holy Spirit is not something we talk about and conjecture about. The Holy Ghost is our life. If we do not have the Holy Spirit in this house, was dead, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Amen. There's nothing in the world worse than dead orthodoxy. You believe all the right things, but there's no power in your soul. You believe all the right things, but there's no life moving in your veins. You believe all the right things, but that relationship with the Lord is not there. It may have been one time, but it's not now. There's something about this, and once you have this, you'll hunger for it. Once you've ever been born of the Spirit of God, nothing can ever take its place. You'll always seek the face of God, because the hand of God upon your soul is unlike anything else on this earth. You just heard a sister in the Lord testify about what God had done for her. She'll never forget that, because that's from on high. That's the Spirit of the living God. My dear friend, I want to introduce you to that this morning. If you don't know him, I want you to understand that everything we do by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Sure, we can have great men. Sure, we can have great accomplishments. Sure, we can build great buildings. And they're all twice dead and plucked up by the roots. There is no power in them. The greatness comes from God. What do we have that we didn't receive of the Lord? It's not about great men. It's not about great me. It's not about great accomplishments or great ministries or great this or great that. It's about God, dear friends. Isaiah chapter number 61, he said, the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse 29 says this about the Lord. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That's the key that unlocks the relationship with the Lord. Can you imagine when he says in the book of Philippians chapter number 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fact, as a man, he humbled himself, amen, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the shameful, despicable death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, amen. I love him this morning. I love him dearly. He's my life and my soul. He's what I am. I am nothing without him. But the Bible says that he humbled himself. He was broken. He came down to us. He came down to our level. No man ever walked this earth more humble than the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it talks about Moses being humble. In Ezekiel 14, the scripture says this: though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Noah is known for his obedience, and his name stands apart. Daniel is known for his consecration, and his name stands apart. Job is known for his faith and his perseverance, and his name stands apart. But when God got ready to lead millions out of Egyptian bondage, he called upon this man. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. There's something up here this morning. There's something up here. Hallelujah to God. But when he got ready to choose one to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, he chose Moses, for the Bible says he was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. The scripture says in the book of Psalm chapter 25 and verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Amen. Exodus chapter number 33 and verse 11 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. Did you get that? As a man speaketh unto his friend, has God ever spoken to you face to face? Have you ever gone through your religious facade and reached deep down inside your soul and found a life there that you didn't even know was there? Do you realize how close God can be to you today? The Bible said if you'll draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you if you have that desire. The Bible said in Exodus 33 verse 9, it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Amen. What would kill other men? Moses walked into it. What would devour someone? Moses stood in security. Where you cannot come into the presence of God, we can. Let us draw nigh with a full assurance that we can be received into his presence. Well, preacher, I need God to do this for me. And preacher, I need God to do this for me or that for me. No, my dear friend. You need God. Amen. Exodus 24 verse 13. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 21, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, unto Aaron, unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Yeah. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam and beheld she was leprous. Moses could walk into that fire. He could walk into that cloud of glory. Did you know, my dear friend, that the fire came down in the book of Acts chapter number 2? Yeah. Cloven tongues like as a fire. Somebody said, preacher, you better watch out. The fire will burn you. Oh, no, my dear friend. Have you never heard of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? Have you not heard of the three Hebrew children that went into the fiery furnace? Have you ever been through the fire in this world? Has fire ever touched your life? Some of you have lived a very comfortable life up until this point. Good for you, but things can change overnight. The fire, my dear friend, they were bound up and they cast them in, and they probably fell on their faces in that fire. But then the fire could only do, my dear friend, what it can only do to a child of God. Only make them better. Only make them free. Only bless them. God has a blessing for you that you can't imagine. He has a life for you that, my friend, you could never choose on your own. God is able to do above and beyond all that you ask or think if you simply put your trust in Him today. Get your old stinking pride and lay it aside. Some of you in this house this morning, you are hungry. You really do want a closer walk with God. You really would like to see your prayers answered again. You'd like to feel that power in your life, but you're afraid. What's so-and-so going to say? Who cares what so-and-so said? Who cares? Have you ever been on your deathbed? Have you ever been by the bedside of a loved one on their deathbed? Have you ever been to a fresh grave in the graveside? Have you ever been out there where, my dear friends, it doesn't matter how much money you've got and who you know and what people care? Have you ever been to a place where it doesn't make any difference anymore? That, my dear friends, is where God meets with you. Amen. He meets with you. When you come to the end of yourself, that's the beginning with God. When you've given up and exhausted all of your resources, you've tried your best to figure everything out, you've played your mind games and word games with God, and there is no hope for you, you think, that's when God begins. He begins where men end. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah to God. The Bible said the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and we know what happened. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter number 3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Listen carefully to this. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Listen carefully. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which are to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? I don't live in the house of a servant. I live in the house of a son. I live in a house where I'm privileged beyond measure. I live like Mephibosheth did, where I can sit down at the table as a dead dog, as he said of himself. What do you want a dead dog like me for? Oh, it's not for you, Mephibosheth. It's not about you. It's about somebody bigger than you. It's about what I've done for him. I've given Christ blessings. I have exalted him. And if you are in him, the blessings and exaltation are yours too. Amen. Amen. This is what it says about Moses. In the book of Exodus chapter number 3, he saw a burning bush. God gave Moses a vision. He not only did that, but the scripture says in the book of Exodus 24 and 34 that Moses walked into the thick darkness. Can you imagine what the children of Israel thought when they watched this man, their leader, that had led them out of Egyptian bondage? They watched him as this cloud had descended upon the mountain and there was fire. And the scripture said that even so much as an animal, if it touched that mountain, would die on the spot. And here Moses walks right into the darkness. Will we ever see him again? Will Moses ever come out of that darkness again? Will we ever see him again? The Bible says in the book of Exodus 20, 33, 22, and 34, that right at the end of their stay at the mountain, that God passed before Moses and showed him his glory. Amen. His goodness. That was the part that he could handle. And then finally, the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus chapter number 33 that Moses was able to stand in the door of the tabernacle when the glory of God came down and wrapped itself around him. He could walk into the thick darkness and he could stand in the glory. My dear friend, you can stand in the glory and you can stand in the darkness. And you can stand, my dear friend, under the fire, and you can stand when the wind blows. You can stand when the waters rage. You can stand when the dove comes down and falls upon your head. Do you understand that the life that you have now in the flesh That life that God gave you is a life that did not originate for this world. Do you realize that there's something inside you that cries out for the one who came down for us? Do you realize that you'll never be satisfied, my dear Christian friend, with the stuff you pile up around you? Your satisfaction can only come from the Lord. Learn to eat at His table. Learn to drink at His fountain. Learn to make use of Christ, and He becomes the bread of life to you. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. You've got to learn that the Lord Jesus Christ is your life. You've got to learn that you need Him when you get up in the morning, and He's got to be with you all day before you lay your head on the bed. And then if you awaken at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, He's right there. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Amen. So the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, "For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them anymore." They couldn't take it. They couldn't. Mortal beings could never be able to take the glory of God. "For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." That's where we are this morning. We've come into His presence. We welcome Him into this house. You're welcome, Holy One. Walk up and down in the midst of this place. It is the habitation of God through the Spirit. Some of you may be very uncomfortable because of that, but you don't have to be. If you're born again, why don't you come and ask Him to fill you with the Holy Ghost? Ask Him to fill you once again. I've been filled in the past, preacher. I know you may have, but you may have to get that filling again. Ask Him again. I read this morning, right before I came to church, Caracas, Venezuela. You all know where we're talking about. This is the capital of Venezuela. The lights in Pater had gone dark again. The people of Venezuela's largest slum were used to the blackouts that halt the flow of water, exhaust their supplies of expensive candles, and fray their already thin patience. But this would not be like any other lightless night in the hillside burial. Amid the darkened alleyways, a strange, joyful sound emerged between the zinc-roofed homes. Tambourines jingled, maracas rattled, drums throbbed. Voices called all who could hear. "Christ heals and saves," they sing in Caracas, Venezuela. I dare say that if America is reduced to what Caracas, Venezuela has been reduced to, they'll be singing, "Christ heals and saves." All your stuff won't help you in the hour of need. Why don't you come down here and you can sing with your brothers and sisters down there in Venezuela, my dear friend. God is not an American. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel is the God of all mankind. For where you're from, Christ tasted death for every man. I have brothers and sisters in Venezuela. I've got them in Cuba. We've got them in Haiti. We've got brothers and sisters in Canada. We've got them in Ireland. We've got them all over this earth. Amen. We serve the same Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in Thy holy name, I preach what You put on my heart. Thank You, Lord, for the sweet Holy Spirit. My. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Blessed Holy One, You gave me what I needed this morning. I don't want to be selfish with people, but You touched my soul. You blessed me to my soul, and I thank You for that. But Father, this morning we have those in this house who need a blessing. They need a touch. They need They need power in their lives. And they've been it's been a long time since they've been where you want them to be. I pray that they'll come this morning. Come back to Bethel. Come back to the waters of Bethlehem. Come back to the Father's house. Come back. Come back. In Jesus' name we pray.